A Haines resident reflects on how Nelson Mandela affected his life, and a look back at our communities 80 years ago when alcohol prohibition was finally lifted. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The death of Nelson Mandela Thursday invoked reaction across the globe. His leadership of the African National Congress and the group's struggle against the racially oppressive apartheid regime of South Africa, his 27 years as a political prisoner, and then becoming the first democratically elected South African president in 1994, inspired people of all races. It all played out on an international stage. And now his death has prompted an outpouring of sadness and admiration for his 95 years of life. There is also concern about what his death means for South Africa now. Mandela's life affected and inspired people all over the world, but he most directly affected those who call South Africa home. People like Haines resident James Alborough, who grew up in South Africa at a time when Mandela and his wife, Winnie, were considered banned persons. Alborough spoke with us Thursday about his experience growing up in South Africa, the mostly positive but sometimes questionable leadership of Mandela, and how he sees the country moving forward now.
Under apartheid, he was in prison until 1989, I believe. And then during that time, Winnie lived in a town, and she wasn't allowed contact with anyone. She was kind of like under house arrest. So she wasn't allowed to address gatherings or make statements or anything like that. They were the arch enemy. What do they call, public danger number one or whatever, however you like to refer to that. And Mandela was depicted as a terrorist, because he had tried to resist using force. That's what he was actually tried for, was for stashing some weapons somewhere, because the negotiations that they had tried to do for years had failed, so they resorted to armed conflict. 27 of them went on trial, and I don't think anyone was actually hanged, which is how they did it back then. But he was sent. Yeah, he and a bunch of his cohorts were put in jail for life. Nelson Mandela was always like the leader of the ANC. They were. You couldn't read about him in the paper. In fact, I never saw a picture of the guy until he was released. I saw pictures of him as a young man. In fact, all South Africans wouldn't have seen him until he was released, and everyone was kind of like, wow, he's got gray hair, this is an old man. Because he wasn't allowed on TV, you weren't allowed to hear him on the radio, he wasn't allowed to be printed in the paper. I was aware of what he stood for, but never able to actually go to the library or buy a book from a store or anything like that. The book, like A Long Walk to Freedom, is the main book that is about him, and that probably constituted my first serious knowledge about the guy. Freaky thing, having a country that's so locked down that they can actually do that to someone, completely make him a non-person. In fact, I came over at the height of the what they call the state of emergency, where I came over in 85, and he was released in 89. And, during the 80s, things were just basically unraveling. And it would have continued to unravel if he and de Klerk hadn't made the deal they made, to create a peaceful transition. It was very rough going there during the early 90s until 94 when they had the first election. So he was actually the first South African president I ever voted for. A couple of my South African friends and I went up to San Francisco and voted. It was exciting. He's the man, he saved the country because it would have continued in a civil war. And he's no saint either, but he certainly was able to forgive and move on, and he was, a brilliant decision of his to not disrupt the status quo and to keep the economy moving, which allowed, progress to be made. It was untenable before. When I left the country, it was really, it was crazy. There was street battles and... I was actually due to go into military service at that time, and I would have been deployed to be in the townships, suppressing my countrymen, basically. But fortunately, I didn't have to do that. Well, it's dramatically different than it used to be. It's thriving. It really is a booming place. And I think you find that there's still a lot of crime, but that's nothing to do with race, which is the biggest difference. It's all to do with economics. And granted, almost all the poor people are black. It's not all the rich people are white anymore. And there's nothing to stop anyone anymore. You know, it's got one of the most liberal constitutions in the world. Unfortunately, they struggle with corruption. And, you know, Mandela's been out of government for something like 20 years now. So, yeah, he's a symbol. And, you know, he was the critical catalyst that changed the country from apartheid to freedom. And, you know, and then since then, it's been up to his party to continue that. And that's been a very flawed progress. No, I mean, he was super important to all South Africans. And I think, you know, a lot of people are afraid of, you know, what's going to happen now. But really, he hasn't been at the helm for so many years. You know, he wouldn't dare to disrupt the progress while Mandela was around. It would just be wrong. So it would be interesting to see what happens now. There's definitely, when he was sick, several months ago, there was a lot of talk about, oh dear, you know, what's going to happen when he dies. But, you know, I think people have had a long time to get used to this idea, and so it'll probably be okay. But my whole family's there, you know, so it's definitely something that's important to me.
That's James Alborough of Haynes sharing his thoughts on Nelson Mandela.
Let us live and strive for freedom in South Africa. Ale.
You may have heard about Thursday being the 80th anniversary of the end of Prohibition in the U.S. December 5th, 1933 was when the 21st Amendment of the Constitution was ratified. It overturned the 18th Amendment from 1920 that imposed prohibition. We decided to talk to some local historians about what the repeal of prohibition meant for the Upper Lynn Canal communities. Cynthia Jones, former director of the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center, told us about a display the museum used to have in a nod to prohibition. It was a scarf that said, "Repeal the 18th Amendment," and it was wrapped around a bottle of lemon extract because the extracts had alcohol in them, so people would drink them during prohibition. But according to Jones, there was a place not too far away where Haynes residents could actually legally drink.
During Prohibition, the Dalton Cache up there by the border, if you drive up there now, you'll notice that the border, the Canadian border is about a foot to the north of the building. Well, during Prohibition, according to the old timers, the border went right through the building, and the upper half was in Canada, so they could serve alcoholic beverages in there. Not only in half of it, though.
In Skagway, Prohibition was a little different. Here's local historian, author, and publisher Jeff Brady talking about Skagway's ties to the times.
They had kind of a prohibition during the Gold Rush, but it was never really enforced, hence the fact that there were several saloons here. In August of 1916... Skagway became one of the first communities to adopt the, quote, Alaska Bone Dry Law, unquote, and close its saloons. And so we were ahead of the curve, sort of. What happened with that was there was kind of a local women's Christian temperance union happening, and they kind of seized political control of the community after many years of saloons and prostitution being legal. And this was kind of the saloons closing affected all of that. And it remained closed until through federal prohibition in 1933. And most of the cases that came before the U.S. Commissioner between 1916 and 1933 were alcohol related, according to research that park historian Frank Norris did. And so and here I can just read you one of the entries. March 7th, 1920, search warrant issued for J.J. Eckert, the town marshal. Liquor smuggling into port, found with a bottle of whiskey, and a lady complained that he put whiskey in her lemon drink. Jury trial, fine $20 or 30 days.
Those are some of the local stories we uncovered today, the 80th anniversary of the end of Prohibition. Cheers.
It's a quarter to three. There's no one in the place except you and me. Set 'em up, Joe. I got a little story that you are.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.
To the end of a brief episode. And oh yeah, make it one for my baby. For the road.